it up today, half and half or something like that. Sometimes it depends how we begin, but I'll try to do part also to speak about Yom Pesach. Okay, so let's start with Matana Manas Lahachs here. Taking a little longer than we thought. We'll need one more shiur, I think, just to finish up, and that'll be maybe a longer shiur. Maybe the day that we come back to finish up the Mar Makomos that we have on Matana Manas Lahachs here. And then to move on to the next sugya, Zayin Amud Aleph of Arev and Eved Kanan. Again, we've done a good chunk of that anyway, so that should take much shorter. Just going to fill in more on the nature of Kinyan Arev generally. We've talked about the question whether it's like a Lova, whether it's Hana, whether it's something else, it's Chaybus. I want to talk about that and its application to Kiddushin, some of which we've already discussed. A little bit of Eved Kanani. We've done Adam Chashuv pretty much. Again, what the Gemara's Hava Mina and Maskana is about the relationship between Kiddushin and other Kinyanim. On Zayin Amud Aleph, that much we pretty much did. And then we have to speak a little bit about Pashta Kiddushin Bekula, which again we've also done 50% or so. So we'll try to finish that up also. And we'll see how far we can go. In these topics for today, just to complete a little bit some of the Matana Manas Lahachs, but again we'll try to do it briefly so we can also speak a little about Inyanei Pesach. Firstly, on the issue of Tabas, when we do that final shiur on Matana Manas Lahachs here, when we come back, we'll talk about the Marachor Zarua, some of the other things. I also want to speak just a little bit more about the status of Mekadesh B'She'ela, or Tabas She'ula. So we had that already just in the exchange and the tshuva of the Rush and the discussion with Rabbi Avigdor, and then the Rush weighs in on his own, both in terms of the possibility that Tabas She'ula would be a form of Kiddushin Al Yidei Hana, as well as the possibility that it could be a kind of Kiddushei Kesef, and then, of course, the relationship to Matana Amanas Lahachzir. So there's a very famous discussion of this in the Al-Atar, in the Rush, also here in the first parak, but a little bit later on Simin Chaf. So you should just add that to the mix, and then we'll talk about some of the other Rishonim and Achronim. But here, the same historical background as the tshuva, right? In Simen Chaf here, the Rosh starts Alki Ra'isi Ba'ashkenaz Sheregilim Lekadish B'Tabas She'ula Nasati Eslibi Lidrosh V'Latur, right? Me'ayin, Hergelam De Lecha'ora Inam Ukudeshes Kivin Shekibla Tabas Adaita Shei Shalah Ve'Ena Shalah. So the Ra'isi to say for a Chachma. So this apparently was something that was done a lot in Ashkenaz, that they were Mekadesh B'Tabas She'ula, and this came under scrutiny, and there's a whole the whole Simen Chaf here basically as well as the Tshuva, and there are other Ikutz Bala Itur and other Rishonim, and certainly in the Poskim this is a big discussion as well. And again, the Rush's perspective in the different places is that it really shouldn't work as Kesef. It might work as Hana, and he also has this idea that this very flexible idea, which is legally significant but conceptually insignificant, and that is that when people want to get a certain result, and it's clear, they are intending that consequence. So even if they go about to some extent, even if they go about the method incorrectly, out of amaratzis, let's say, nonetheless, there's a certain flexibility, undana about what maybe they, really would be trying to accomplish. So that creates a certain flexibility in creating an effective kinyan. That's not such a davar pashut, but that's the approach that the Rosh pushes, both here and in the tshuva, in the end. That's really kind of an important kiddush. Again, if you assume that it's true, that when you have das to do something, you know that we have an umdana to kind of allow you to do it in the way that works, so he's suggesting that in that way, being kaddish b'tabas she'ula, which may not work in its own right, but will end up working b'toras matana almanas, you know, lahachzir, and maybe it'll escape some of the, you know, the drabanan strictures, because it isn't given that way, but really it should work. So it's a kind of an ingenious, you know, practical solution. I'll just read you the lines in the end. here, 1 second. Klola de milsa, kidsha begezel di alma. That's not the right line. It starts a little earlier here, maybe. This is what his solution is. Yeah. 1 second. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. So here on the second column, at least in mine, it's al pidin halachically. This is much worse than matana manas lahatzir. Matana manas should work. Ela dekal mifkiu mishum dedami lechalipin. And then he says, amnam nearly im yomar lau hashileni tabas kidei lekadish boas aisha the havam ukudeshes. The kivan shehisha lo adaita lekadesh as a isha anansadi de gomar beliba litna lo baosalashon sheyoil leinyan kiddushin shetehea isha mukudesh as bo ki adaita de hachi masar lo yado hatabas leim lo yoil belishon sheela yebelosha matana le kalapochos tia matana manas lahaxir have a mukudesh as viukneum in a isha viaxi ren lo o yaxi lo dom of the chazar's dom of have a chazara. Then he goes on to that sugin git nayin dalid. So this is his suggested approach, which I say is a very huge license. You know, if it could work, obviously there has to be some sort of dimyon between what you're trying, what you think you're doing, and the effective way for it to actually be accomplished. Obviously, if it's tuned, if you didn't do something that can be turned into that kind of maisa kinyan, then it won't work. But what he's saying is that there are certain kinyanim that are, you know, overlapping or similar, and then if you get it wrong in the details, still it's a big kiddush, that, you know, we can assume that what you really meant was the other, and that will actually work. And again, the kiddush here is that it'll work, even though you're trying to be, you know, operating with she'ela, and if you're explicitly doing matan v'nas l'haksa, that wouldn't work either. This is going to work. So that's the kiddush. He thinks that that's the real... This is the Rosh a little bit l'shitaso. He thinks that's the real way to read the Gemara in Bava Basra on Kuf Lamed Zayin, right, where the Gemara originally said, oh, you're trying to do Kinyan Peros. Kinyan Peros shouldn't work, you know, in an Esrog. And then the Gemara says, well, but the whole point is that you know, want to accomplish, you know, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim and Lachem. So, you know, so again, there are different ways to read that Gemara. So whether Abba Vigdor, you know, HaKohen, read the Gemara was that, you know, this isn't really, this is Matana Manas L'Hachzir Mitchil Leviyot. So it never ever really was Kinyan Peros. We thought that the practical limitation, right, of Zman Katzuv or whatever is going to interfere with Lachem. And that was our important to Ara about how that works and how that's connected with the real Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Agov. And then the Gemara is saying, no, it doesn't, since fundamentally this is a Kinyan Agov, that's fine. That's how Ravigdor read that change in the Gemara. And others interpreted that, no, this is probably Rabbeinu Yishai and others. Inochanami, Matan Manas L'Hachzir, is also a Kinyan Agov. But the range within a Kinyan Agov, when you want to accomplish, or when you need to accomplish, or when the sole purpose of your Kinyan is something more demanding, so then Kinyan Agov can expand to something more demanding. That's also a very big Kinyan, because you might have thought, and many Rishonim will tell you that Kinyan Aguf is a very specific, has a very specific range. It's not more and less than that range. But there is a group of Rishonim reading the Gemara in Basra, Gemara in Bava Basra are saying more. The way the Rush is reading the Gemara in Bava Basra, both here in Siman Chaf and Kiddushin and in Bava Basra, is that the Gemara really was talking about Kinyan Aguf. I'm sorry, Kinyan Peros. And that's why it depends on Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Aguf. And Kinyan Peros really doesn't work beyond, you know, what works. But when the Gemara said, well, what's the point of him giving him to him the Kinyan Peros if it doesn't work, and that's the only reason that he wants to transfer this object to his Rishus, that's what turns it or converts it into Matana Amanas Lahatzir. And that's how he's reading the Gemara here. So he's saying if that's true for Kinyan Peros, and that's the message of the Gemara, that when you have kinyanim that, you know, are subtly different from each other halachically, but your goal is clear and your method is just, ineffective for reasons, you know, that escape you, so then there's like a backup, you know, conversion into something that will work. And that's what he thinks is the way to justify the Minhag Ashkenaz of Tabas Shehula. Okay, so this, of course, is an interesting, that's just an interesting phenomenon. It has much wider repercussions in the world of Kinyanim, you know, again, within reason, obviously, but that's the Rosh's perspective. Well, we just have to also just sum up, going back to the, you know, the Tshuva and some of the other Rishonim and Poskim, is there anybody out there who thinks that She'ela itself can ever be sufficient? It doesn't work for Lachem, does that mean it doesn't work for Kiddushin? Okay, what do you really need in Kiddushin, and how much Kinyanim are there in She'ela? So that's what we still want to look at in this context. As we already noted, there is a range of views whether Shoal has real Kinyanim, you know, what level of Kinyanim he has, and so on. So this is one area to continue to explore. What we were discussing, I just wanted to add a little bit to that, was the...
What's the tzad that you would need
bilus? You need bilus in what?
For
what's the tzad that you would need bilus? I mean, a lot of the Rishonim think you need bilus. Ki yikach ishisha means that you have to give something of your own. That's
everybody agrees that. Because that just means you have a command
that
works.
So we'll get to that when we get to it.
I mean, clearly it doesn't mean that there's definitely no requirement that the husband needs bilus.
Well, we'll see. But we get that.
But that's uncontroversial, right?
No, there are some. Again, in the discussions of
everyone agrees that Evan Kanani works.
Yeah, the question is how does Evan Kanani work? So we'll get to it.
People think that it works. Midin, the husband has five.
Well, some people think that it's midin hana and that he's giving her hana. Right? Those people who turn Evan Kanani into hana. So then, for them, there's no evidence. Well, let's wait for Evan Kanani until we get to Evan Kanani. But the ones who think that it are even Evan Kanani are Hana, not because you need, let's say, Kesef Shel Hana, but because it's Mekadish B'Hana, because otherwise it wouldn't work. Some of them are going to explain, and some of them do explain, that the reason is because you need Bilus. In but some of the discussions, again, I don't want to get off track right now, but say again, B'Hana from the Baal?
Even those who show them don't say it's Hana from the Baal.
Right.
They agree that it's Hana that she receives from the third party. Hey.
No, but he's the one who...
He doesn't have Bilus on it.
Maybe he does.
No, maybe well, she's Mekabla Hana.
Let's wait till we get to Evan Kanani.
There's no Lachem on that.
Let's wait. Well, there's no Lachem because it's not a Cheftza, so it's not going to work for Ezra.
There's no
but
Bilus.
There may be Bilus. He may be the one who is instigating, initiating, and therefore he is the Bilus on the Hana.
Really, he doesn't have to initiate from Mekadish Mithin Shnei.
So let's wait till we get there. But in the discussions that we've already seen, namely Mekadesh B. Suri Hana, right, a lot of the Rishonim say that the problem is a problem of Bilus.
There's no Nesina because he didn't have the right to give it to her.
That's the Mishnah Lemelech's.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
That's the Mishnah Lemelech Safek. What if you have cases where there is a Kabbalah without Nesina or Nesina without a Kabbalah? Right? Let's say you give it to her and she's a Kol Mesukan. Or a Kol Hashena Mesukan. Or let's say you give it.
It can't be an issue of whether you need Lachem or Bilus. At best, it's an issue of whether there was like a legitimate transfer of property. That's really the question.
you need a legitimate transfer from him, from something that he owns.
Right, at best, that's the question, not whether he requires bylaws.
Well, if you need a transfer from him, from something that he owns, then you need bylaws.
I'm saying no one thinks, but it can't be that it has to be something he owns. We can have a Kanani.
So we'll we get to have a Kanani. We'll get
so
to
real,
it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, that there are different ways to understand have a Kanani, and there are different ways to understand the Hana of have a Kanani, if you hold that way. Either way, again, this is something that we've talked about in several cases already, and as I say, it comes up here in the question of She'ela as well, because there might be a Kabbalah. The question is whether it's a Nesina. In some cases, you may need a Sidar Bailus as a Shear in the Kabbalah, in the Nesina, which is, I think, what you're saying. But again, part of the equation between Kiddushin and in the case of Dalad meaning, you certainly need Bailus. You certainly need Lachem. People who think that you need in Kiddushin what you need for Lachem are implying that there's a much stronger requirement. Either way, that's in terms of Tabas Shula. And then getting back to the issues that we discussed last time, so just to mention that I left some of my papers at home, so I don't have the details that I was going to speak about more specifically. But the Abnei Miluim in Simen Chof Ches, I think it's Sif Katan Nun Zayin, Nun Gimel Nun Zayin, one of those, has a much, much longer piece even than the Kselos, but of course working off of the Kselos in Simen Reish, you have it there. In Simen Reish Mem Aleph, Sif Katan, what's the one that we've been doing? Dalet?
Yeah.
So he, of course, makes reference to that, and he has more. And again, as we were doing, we were debating a little bit, but discussing whether the people who hold Kinyan Haguf, Lizman Katsuv, whether or not they think that the Zman Katsuv has any impact on the quality of the Kinyan Haguf, notwithstanding Kinyan Haguf. So what we were discussing really, and especially in light of the Ran in the Darim, and that the Ksos has to deal with and so on, is whether or not the analysis is to demonstrate that there exists such a category, namely, in contrast to what seems like the view of the Rush, right? We'll get to the language of the Rush in a second. Or the language, or based on the position of the Ran and the Darim, right, which is that, seemingly that, Kinyan Lizman Kot, Kinyan Aguf Lizman Kotuv Zastira Mineu Bey, we're trying to demonstrate that Matano Manasla Haksir is that phenomenon, that it exists, and that it's fine. If that's one perspective, and that's one, certainly, a dimension of what's going on in these discussions. We're trying to establish that there's something called Kinyan Aguf Lizman Kotsuv. Having said that, if there is such a thing as Kinyan Aguf Lizman Kotsuv, so then you might take the view that it is still a qualitatively pure or absolute Kinyan. And then any limitations would be, any hesitations to prove, A, that the phenomenon exists, in contrast to those other perspectives, right? And any limitations then would just be purely, purely pragmatic, or maybe a little bit of pragmatic lack of control or future lack of control, rebounding into a bit of practical legal limitation. And I'm inclined to think that that's mostly what's going on, as I said, with Rav Avigdor, especially since he's coming to this from the opposite perspective. And he's suggesting that this, he's not really concerned with or trying to explain limitations. For the Ksos, that's what we were having a bikuach about. It seems clear to me that the Ksos is a Kinyan Katsuv, Kinyan Haguf Lizman Katsuv, is under another attack, or not under an attack, that there are two issues. One is, does it exist? And the other is, if it does exist, what impact does that have on the Kinyan Aguf, notwithstanding that there is a Kinyan Aguf, this Man Katsuv, is that Kinyan Aguf itself, I wouldn't say compromised, we'll still call it qualitatively qualified by being Lizman Katsuv in a more fundamental way, and yet retains the status of Kinyan Aguf. And this, I think, what he is concerned about in terms of, or what he's trying to prove from Lachem, and from these other cases. And that the language of Shior, and especially some of the positions that he takes, to me, make it seem clear that he holds that you can have a Kinyan Haguf, one which is a different category, even in terms of the quality of that guf, and yet it's not Kinyan Peiros. It's walking that fine line. That's how I understand, A, the biggest question, can you have a Kinyan that simply runs out, a Kinyan which reverts? I think that the phenomenon itself, which Rabbi Avigdor doesn't address, but which the Ksos does, is part of this story, namely, you maybe wouldn't be able to set up a reverting Kinyan. Reverting Kinyan implies that there is, you know, some sort of simultaneous continued ownership of the Bailim HaRishonim. And that itself implies a limit, not a limit that expresses itself, you know, in so many issues, but a limit that expresses itself somewhat in the quality of the Mekabel's Matana. And that's what I think is going on with his Raya from Tosas and Erchin, which compares to Shlicha She'ela and Schirus, and says that there's no Chlipin whenever there is a time limit. I think his view on Tanai is based on that. The comparison to Shudfim and Breira, I think, works better that way, because again, the question of Breira, as is evident from the Sugya in the beginning of the fifth parak of Nedarim, there are really two issues. One is that every time, every shutaf, right, is an owner, but an owner whose quality of ownership is shared with and therefore compromised in part by the fact that he's not the exclusive owner. Every shutaf is not an exclusive owner. And even if you hold Breira, this is the question, he's probably not ever the exclusive owner. It's just that, as the Ran explains, you know, there are times when his prerogatives, you know, give him greater rights than the other owners. So when the Ksos compares the time limitation of Zman Katsuv, right, he proves that that's a thing. A, exists, B, isn't compromised too much by comparing it to Shudfim and Breira, even though that has nothing to do with time, that has to do with multiple owners. I think, again, I know you could argue, if you take a certain view on Breira and Shudfus, I think once again that this is what he's saying, and I think when his solution to the problem of Hekdesh, which is that it's a you can not be makne or makdish and dover shena shalo, but you can, set up a mechanism in which the lapse of your kinyan is also going to apply to Hektish's own ownership that you generated. I think that too is part of the story. If you look at the Avnei Miluim, I think some of the other rise that he brings also point in this direction, but I don't want to go into detail, but it's a much longer piece. Yeah.
When the Ksos discusses the Shutfos, he says, V'afagav l'achar shah, are you shel Shutfos? It seems that he is saying that it's also a question of time, no?
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that it's always more than that. Meaning, the Breira part makes it is what makes it a l'achar shah. There are two differences. Number one is that it's not katsuv per se, it's katsuv because of the din of Breira, and Breira is a very complex topic. And number two is that even when he has it, you know, seemingly as the dominant party in the context of Breira, according to most Rishonim, that doesn't mean that there isn't shutfus at that moment. It's not that if you hold Breira, there's no shutfus. It's that if you hold Breira, you know, you're the dominant shutaf at that point. And I'm saying if that's true, then it's to be comparable to a Dabar Sheish Bazman is not so simple. And indeed, the Nesivas. The Nesivas a challenge, let me talk about the Nesivas just for one more minute. The Nesivas challenges a lot of the points of the Ksos. This is the Nesivas and Sif Katan. Okay? So number one, he holds like the Rush.
Okay, so what's the Raya from Brera?
No Raya. I'm just saying that if you take the view that Kinyan Lizman Katsuv is a shiur of some sort, then the comparison to Shutfus and Brera, to me, makes more sense, because otherwise it's extremely flawed, because every case of Brera, even when there's Brera, there's Shutfus.
But I thought the Ksos is just trying to show that there is such a recognized category.
So that's what I said before.
Kinyan Aguf.
Right. I think he's trying to show more than that. I think he's trying to show that Kinyan Azmuk, Kinyan Aguf, Lizman, not only exists, but that it is sufficiently Kinyan Aguf, despite the fact that there's a Shiur. I think that's what he's trying to prove from Brera. He's trying to prove that it works for Sukkah, for Lulav.
But he never mentions Shiur in that.
Right, he doesn't mention in that Raya. He does mention Shiur in the Raya from Tosfos and Erechah. I'm putting together.
There's nothing on HaKreifas to read it that way, right?
What's that?
There's nothing on HaKreifas to read it that way.
Yeah, I think I said that. If you want to take a certain view about Brera and Shutfus, then there's no HaKreifas. Either way, it's a flawed.
Even regardless of what view you're going to take.
Either way, it's a flawed Raya. It's a flawed Raya because the cases are different.
It's not a flawed Raya because you see clearly from that case that even though it's only a Kinyan Aguf Lizman, nevertheless...
But it isn't really a Kinyan Aguf Lizman.
Sure it is.
It's only Kinyan Aguf Lizman if you take a very radical view on Brera.
Why? We know that She'ela wouldn't be sufficient for Lachem of Lulav.
We're not talking about She'ela, we're talking about Shutfus. Shutfus of Brera.
But the assumption here of these Rishonim is that Shutfus itself is not sufficient for Bailus of Lachem. That's why all these Rishonim need to invoke Brera.
Right. But that's fine. But all I'm saying is that Shutfus with Brera, even the Brera part, doesn't limit Shutfus. Doesn't reduce. As long as we don't reduce Shutfus with Brera to Matana Manas Lahaksir, right? Then it's a comparison of two different types of Shiur.
I don't see where Shiur comes into this at all. These Rishonim are assuming that you need full bailus on your lulav. It can't be shared bailus to be Yotze Lachem.
No, maybe you need a dominant party. To use the language of the Ram in the beginning of a Shutfin, everybody is a Shutfin call, right? But there's a Shutfin, the kind of a Kinyan Peros, and the Shutfin is a kind of Kinyan Agud. And the question is, what can you have, what is sufficient in Lachem? What is sufficient to accomplish Lachem? The Ksos, in my opinion, at that point, is not trying to demonstrate any more against the Ran that there exists a Kinyan Lizman Katsuv. He's trying to show that a Kinyan Lizman Katsuv, meaning even though it's Lizman Katsuv and that does cut in as the other Rayas demonstrate, it's still enough for
the Lashon of the Beit Yosef that the Ksos is quoting
Rajpa.
Is Tamrinan Yesh Brera. Sharev, etc. Valdas came laku shevisha sheyitlenu kol echad mehem latzisbo sheyehe kulo shelo.
Right. I'm saying kulo shelo. He's the dominant one. Right. I'm just saying it's not true in the sugyas and ashutfin that there's no shutfus even if you hold Brera. What is true is that you're the dominant shutfus, and that's enough for lachem. I'm saying that depends on how you split it. That's it.
But I'm saying that Ksos himself, who's the Marat Shmaitse here, is appealing to the Beis Yosef who interprets
He's quoting the Beis Yosef who holds that this works.
As Kulo Shelo
enough for Lachem in the same way that this is. All I'm saying is that it's a flawed comparison because there's no initial Zman Katsuv. It's better and it's worse. There's no Zman Katsuv here. Right,
he's
it's
not,
more.
Not,
it's better
he's
than.
Not trying to make an analogy to Matan Amos Lachem. He's just trying to demonstrate that.
I just don't want to get. I don't want to spend an hour debating it. Okay. But I'm just saying.
I don't understand what the reading is.
The reading is that if you hold Brera, it doesn't mean that there's no Shutuf at all. According to the simple reading of the Gemaras.
According to the Beis Yosef, which he himself is.
Because he's trying to explain why it works for Lachem. So, of course, we're accentuating what you do have sufficiently vis-a-vis the others at that moment. At that moment, you are the one. This is your moment in the sun as a shutav. All I'm saying is
that's not what he's learning. He's learning that at this moment it's fully yours to the exclusion of anybody else's property rights.
Right, and I'm saying that that is hard to sustain in terms of the evidence.
That's a cash on the basis they've
been. It's true and it's not. It's true, but it's not the entire story. But it's true, which makes it enough for Lachem. We'll see in a moment that according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, right, who holds that Matar Menas Lahachzir is a form of Kinyan Aperos, right, that's also enough for Lachem, as long as there's no Chiyav Onsen.
Yeah, but that's not what the
What I'm trying to show is, either way, you have to explain according to the Ksos. Right? If indeed he does think that this is a compromised Kinyan Aguf, or a less Kinyan Aguf than a regular Kinyan Aguf, you have to explain why it's enough for Lachem. And that's where I think he's bringing the Raya from Breyer.
I don't think the Ksos doesn't think it's a compromise.
Because you disagree, I understand.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the
evidence from Tosis and Erchin and from the other and from the Lashonos and the Kaktish and whatever is overwhelming. That he is trying to accomplish two things in this piece. One, to say that a Kinyan Haguf as Mankatzav exists, and two, to say that even though it is a Kinyan Meshuyar in some respects, it still has enough Kinyan Haguf to accomplish Lachem. And the Raya from Breira and some of the other Rayas, both in this piece and in the Avnei Miluim, are, in my opinion, not to establish that it exists, but to establish that the Kinyan Aguf part, notwithstanding the limitations, are enough. Okay. The Nesivos, by the way, disagrees. And as I said before, I think the Nesivos is interesting because, on the one hand, he thinks that there's a difference, that we do look at the ultimate Chazara as having impact in terms of Piron versus Kasef. That's his piece in Kuftzadi and Kuftzadites and so on. And yet, he disagrees with the Ksos about Kinyan Aguf Lizman Kotzer. Number one, he thinks, just very quickly, that the Ran in Nedarim is not limited to Kiddushin. I was suggesting it might be limited to Kiddushin and to Kedusha. I was suggesting it might be limited the other way. Maybe the only thing that would work would be something about Mid'ag B'Nafak. Okay? The Nesivos is having none of any of those chilukim. Right? The Nesivos' idea is that if you look carefully at the Ran in his application, he applies it even to Dini Mamanis and even to Bikurim. Let me see if I can find the line quickly. V'hosha kosov aran b'nedarim u'b'ksos ha'choshen hichet l'halachash ein tzorach kinyan kishem matzah sheish kinyan aguf l'shah v'hosha kosov aran b'nedarim right? Choftes, d'kol kinyan sheino olamis lo hava rak kinyan peros lo kosov zeh rak l'inyan ishus d'bina kinyan olam ayin shah, that's excels v'leisa, d'baran shah, maybe raya me'amokr sada b'zman shayovel noheg right? L'inyan bikurim. That's an interesting comparison, right? In general, this is something that needs to be brought into the mix in terms of this question, meaning the impact of Chazara B'Yovel and whether that is different than a regular Matana Menas L'Achzir, right? Who brought it to my attention that's the part of the discussion of the... Did you bring it to me? Who mentioned to me the... yes, did you read Josh? No, you told me that the Rimigash. Anybody? Tosis read in Sukkah?
Oh, it's like Mordechai.
What?
Mordechai.
Oh, he brought it to my attention? Okay. Anyway, so that's an interesting question, whether or not Mocher Sada Shel, Bizman Shiesh Yovel, that of course is a huge topic, and it's a very interesting debate between the Rambam and the Ravid about that. Is that Kinyan Aguf Lizman Katsuv, or is that always like an again, is that like an afkata de malka? Right? So it's the same issue, right? But it might be mechalik in either direction. Because it's more built in. On the one hand, it's more built in. Right? It's not something that is created by a tanai. Right? That's more of a reason to think that it's a qualitative limitation. On the other hand, it's not created by Das Machne. So if you see Yovel as Afgata de Malka, right, so there's more reason to think of it as extraneous. Yet, there's certainly, and it's a good parallel, yet the question of that imposing limitations on the actual bailus is an issue. So again, is that because it's a kinyan meshuyer of some sort, or is it because pragmatically you see that when you don't, you know, when there's a predictable moment, you know, when you're going to lose control, that itself has impact. But again, this predictable moment, because it's built in, is either more or less. And it happens to everybody, right? So it isn't necessarily an issue in Shlita of your particular bailus. Anyways, the Ran quotes Mocher Sada Bizman Shi Yovel Noeg L'inim Bikurim to explain that Yochal Havi Bikurim, right? Kivan Shebishonim Elu Gam Aguf Shelo Yochal Omer Adam Shonasatali. He's discussing that back and forth. Alma Filu B'Mamon Kol Shenu Kinyan Alamus Kinyan Peirosu. Anyway, so the Sivas rejects that idea. He strongly rejects the view of the Ksos. He doesn't like the Raya from Esrog Shel Kahal, right? For other reasons. What's interesting is for the Ksos, the answer of how you're able to be Makdish ever, right, given how you're able to be Makdish and how you can be that can be Yotze, given that Enad Makdish Davar Sheina Shalo, right, the answer is Kinyan Meshuyar. The Nesiva, since he doesn't believe in the whole thing, has a very difficult time with Mechira and Hekdesh. Regarding Hekdesh, since the Gemara implies in Baal Basra that if you don't say Li, the Hekdesh will be Chal, right? So that's a particularly naughty problem. And Mokhe Yosef and others say even Mechira will work. They have a bigger problem. So then what's worth just noting is the Nesivus' solution to the Hekdesh problem. Anybody see it? I don't know if I signed it or not.
I'll take a B.O.C.
That it's Kachem Kalim Ali Badrabiosi. Ali Rabiosi, I believe. Rabiosi, I believe, is of the opinion that Kachem Kalim is Mamon Bailim. Since it's Mamon Bailim, right, you can sell it. Right? And then he talks about, you know, the fact that the Zrika and the Or, you know, belongs to the, you know, to the Lokeach. Right? Belville has a very famous piece about, you know, talking about the two aspects of Bailus and Kachim Kalim, but not for now. But the Nesivus is pushed into that because of this problem, which the Ksos doesn't really have. Masha Kosovikdisho, Dinokat Havala Leminkat Machro Nosno. This is his diuk, by the way, a very interesting diuk. Why does the Gemara pick on the case of Shor? Why does it just say, any matana, that you can be Makdish, whether you say, you know, it depends whether Li or not Li. Why does it have to limit it to a Shor? So he argues, because if it was Kachay Bedekabayis, even if it was Kachay Gavoa, it would be an issue and it would be a problem. Because that would be like Mechira. And since Matano Menas Lahaksir, right, is Matano Gemura, right, so you're going to have this problem. The reason that the Gemara says Shoro, according to the Nesivos, is because it's referring specifically to Kachim Kal. According to the view of the Nemuke Yosef, he comes up with a very mechudash suggestion, and that is that the din that ein hekdesh yotze bechdi, right, isn't an objective halacha that applies in all conditions. Normally, we understand the halacha to mean, you know, that once is a shem hekdesh, so all bets are off. Okay. And the only way that the Ksos is able to navigate around that is because of this idea of a kinyan meshuyar. But the Nesivas comes up with a big chiddush, and that is almost, he doesn't say this part, but basically, maybe that's a chumra in hekdesh, right? Or it's part of the yipui koach of hekdesh. And therefore, if it's going to interfere with the capacity for the hekdesh to be chal to begin with, if the only way hekdesh can be chal is if you ignore the din of ein hektish yotze b'chti, because if you allow for it, then the hektish will never be chal to begin with, then there's no such halacha. I'm just adding that I think that that means that he is interpreting it as yipui, a kind of yipui koach, rather than as an objective halacha. That's these lines here. Umacha heviraim, I'm sorry, here. Umacha kosov v'ksos, anybody finding that line?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. When he tries to explain, he gives his own shot. And then he says, what are you going to do for the Nebuke Yosef? Very fascinating. The Aftek Dusha Bichti Lo Paka, which again, the Pashtus is a din in the shame Hekdesh, right? What's its chal? It has different status. Mikamokam Hocha Kivin de Lo Paka, Ela Kedeshi Iskai Matnai, Kedeshi Efshar Lehekdesh Lachul Mahani. Kimo Begeta now, he's talking about a certain case, Umikoshkein Bemecher, the Vada Yachal Hasno Seyifsok, the Yachsor, the Yachal. So I think actually, this is much easier to say in Mecher than it is to say. In a way, it reminds us of the rush that I just mentioned, which is, well, if the only way, you know, to, you know, for this to be accomplished is to, you know, kind of redefine it, you know, halachically, then you'll do so. The problem, of course, with that is that that is not an infinite license. It's mechudash, and it only makes sense, as I say, when, you know, you have a certain range and a certain dimyon between the different kinyanim. So, obviously, there are limitations in how far you can apply that particular halacha. But in any case, what emerges from the Nesivos is that he really thinks, like the Rush, and against the Ksos, he doesn't like any part of the Ksos. So I want to finish, just for a couple of more minutes, and discuss Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Because I think he is the third shita. Again, we have people who hold kinyan aguf gamur beli azman katsu with a tanai of chazara, right? The Rosh, the Ritva, the Nesivos. Even then, we have implied limitations as a result of the pragmatic aspect, both in the Nesivos, right, and in some of the others. Right, then we have, you know, the Ksos and the Rabbeinu Avigdor, but I'm suggesting that they both believe in Zman, Kineguf Zman Katsuv, but they're coming of it from opposite places, that Rabbeinu Avigdor thinks that it's a Kinyan Gomor with a little bit more, since the Zman Katsuv is built in, not just a Tanai Chitzoni, so the impact on limiting your Bailus, Lemaisa, you know, where the effect might be the same, but it's not a conceptual limitation, is greater than for the Rush and for the Ritva. But I don't have the impression in Rabbi Avigdor, and on the contrary, the way he handles some of the issues, it sounds to me like, all, for him, once you get past, we'll call it the Ran problem, right? That's what Itamar wants to say in the Ksos, I think is true for Rabbi Avigdor. That is, once you get past the phenomenological problem, namely, that there is such a thing as a kinyan aguf l'zman katsuv, and that it's not a stir minei ubei, the kinyan aguf part, with the qualification of a couple of pragmatic limitations, is going to be pretty qualitatively, but we'll call it quantitative limitations rather than qualitative limitations. He wouldn't call it a shir b'kinyanim, and he doesn't. That's why I think that in absence of knowledge or information to the contrary, we should not project to Rabbeinu Avigdor, right, the idea that you don't need a kinyan b'chazar, because I think that that's a key issue. Then we have the Ksos, which we just discussed. And what about the other shita that Rabbi Avigdor seems to be rejecting, namely that Matana Manas L'Hachzir itself is a kinyan peros? How would that work in Lachem? And what would the parameters of that be? That also is an open question, and that I think is where Rabbeinu Yeshaya comes in. Yeah.
Just a quick point on that, just the Sivos actually has a path to say there, but Victor would require a kind of Hazara.
Oh, he does? He mentions that?
Yeah, at the very end.
In that same piece?
Yeah,
I missed it.
That's why.
You have a line? Go ahead.
I
remember he says, and I quoted Rabbi Avigdor.
Yeah, so he's talking about the and then he says,
oh, okay. And that's what he means.
Yeah.
Right, and I think if that is true, because again, I think he's just coming, the language is the same, which is what excited the Ksos. And again, from the Ran Nadarin perspective, you know, the Siva's perspective, it's the same. But as I say, the point of reference is opposite. The Ksos comes to this from, you know, a rejection of the Rush. Rabbi Avigdor comes to it from a rejection, as I say, of Rabbeinu Yeshaya. And that makes all the, I think, makes a lot of difference. Okay. So for Rabbeinu Yeshaya, I think there also could be different formulations. I just want to zero in very quickly on a couple of points in this rush, and then make a couple of other comments, and then we'll move on. Siman Lamed, I'm sorry, Perek Gimel Siman Lamed. Yeah. The rush here. Here's where the Rosh says, "V'tzarch shi'ifneu le'v'matana gemura, amanash shi'achzir, v'akar shi'yatzu bo tzarch lachzav litlo v'matana b'shas chazara. Avalim omar lo, yehe matana ad shi'li teitze bo, v'akar kach yehe shi'li kibitchila, right? Lo yatza, dehava kimo sho'o." So that's firstly. Number one, the Rosh, right, is basically taking the same view, namely that a kinyan lizman katsuv that runs out. Right? He doesn't say that every kinyan lizman katsuv. He doesn't say about Rabbeinu Avigdor's case that it's shaul. Right? But a kinyan katsuv lizman katsuv that runs out, that he says is she'ela. Okay? So that's number one. The teda. The rai, of course, being from the case of Katan, lo liknina shulava liyinuka biyometava, right? Diyinuka mikna kani aknuye lo makni, v'min etzorach lahachzero, v'matana ane de katan labar aknuye liknile ad shiyetzebo v'lachzebo mimela. Alevadai, tzorach v'liknilo b'matana. Okay. So again, the assumption is that if this really is a lapsing back, then it should apply to Katan too. Again, the Ksos actually agrees with that. Ksos, as we saw, just came up with the Dochek idea that the Gemara is only talking about a case where it's on a Matan Omanas Lahaksir. And by the way, implicitly that rejects the Rush's comment about Tabas Shu'ula too, because if you give it to a Katan, according to the Rush, even if there were two, you know, perspectives, it would just automatically turn into a Matan Omanas Lahachzir, it would work anyway. So implicitly, that Ksos is also rejecting that Rush, the Rush on Siman Chaf, right, that idea. Okay. Also to note that the Avnei Miluim, in his piece, Siman Chaf Ches, Siv Katan, whatever it is, Nun Gimel, has a different way to, or a different suggestion to get out of the Katan problem based on the Tosas Rid, right, in Sukkah, and the question of, you know, Kinyan Darabanan, Kinyan Daraisa, right? Okay, just you can look that up. The Katala Baraknuye. Then he quotes an interesting issue. Kasa Bala Iter, Mistabra, Kimin Shemakabu Matana Yodesh, Enosein, Enosein, Vimatana Gemura, Sharihu Tzorech Adayin, Lotzeis Bo, Sheno Lulavacher, Ein Tzorech Lefaresh, Amanas Lahaksir, Elenosin Lostam, Vamakabu Matsir Lostam. So this is not exactly the rush that I just mentioned a minute ago. The rush I mentioned a minute ago was you try to do Kinyan A, which you think works but doesn't. It's close enough to Kinyan B, and therefore, you know, we impute it as if you did Kinyan B. Either way, there's a Maisa Kinyan, which could double for both. It's close enough. The Itur is discussing a different question. And that is, let's say you don't formulate something as a Matan Omanas Lahachzir, but you don't formulate it as something that wouldn't work
either, not she'ela, but you give it in such a way which a kind of an umdana or whatever, right, which would only work at matanam and haslachser. It's something in between, right, the rush, chiddush, and something else. Can you fill in the blanks and create a mat? So this I think is very interesting. The Iter says you'll do it. Right? Dafka beitztalis, avo beestroke. We'll get that in a second. Basically, is there any significance to the Bala Itra Shita in terms of what we're discussing? Or is it just pure umdana? I don't know, I'm speculating, so I'm just throwing out the question. Bala Itra says that you can create a matana menas lahachzir, right, if that's what's going to work, and if you don't, I'm adding the words, so he doesn't not commit it to the rush, if you don't have anything contrary. Does that depend on how you look at matana menas lahachzir? In other words, if you look at matana menas lahachzir as a kinyan gamur with a tnai chitzoni, as opposed to looking at it as a, you know, kinyan lizman katsuv, is it easier to say what the Bala Itra suggests? Again, I have no evidence. I'm just purely speculating, just raising the question. You could say it shouldn't work no matter what. You could say it should work no matter what. In my opinion, I would think that if there was going to be a tliya, that what you'd say is as follows. If matana manas lahaksir is a regular matana, and the almanas lahaksir is just a tanai bialma, so the phenomenon that, you know, you can create a tanai, or you can substitute an umdana of what you want for a tanai, I think is easier than creating a different type of kinyan. I'm giving a kinyan gamur, right? And the question is, should we automatically convert that into a kinyan which is more meshuyar? Okay, but that's a suggestion. Okay. Right. Similarly, the question of whether or not the chazara must take place with the be'en, or the chazara can take place also with a mamon, does that matter at all or not? Itamar, what do you think? Should or shouldn't?
Should matter.
Right, correct. In which way? The more you think matana menas lahachzir is a matana gemura, you would think that mamon would be substitute, correct? Or you want to say the opposite? The more it's a limited matana, certainly if it's a kinyan peiros, you have to give back. You don't own the object. Let's say it's a kinyan lizman katsuv, and especially a limited one.
Doesn't it just depend on what the specifications of...
Well, that's yum. That would be... I mean, what specification? What he meant?
Yeah.
No. I'm saying, so that is... All I'm saying is... There's this Gemara in Gittin about the Itzelis. There's a huge machlokas Rishonim whether or not a typical matano manas lahachzir, right, we do or don't care, you can or cannot substitute for mamon. Obviously it's a huge nafkamina in terms of again being machdish, being mocher, all these things. Part of the debate is whether the Gemara in how to read the Gemara in Gittin with the Itzelis, and is it only Litzura Kamachavim. All I'm saying is there, it could be an umdana issue, no matter what. And in the rush, I think it kind of emerges that way, as we'll see in a moment, because the rush doesn't think you could substitute. And Rav Yeshaya, who we're going to speak of in just a second, thinks you can. That goes the opposite way of my suggestion. So clearly, in the way that it's presented here in the rush, right, it's all a question of umdana. Like, what does the guy really mean? Does he really makbid or not? And the Rosh uses the language of makbid. But if you ask me, and I think we agree, al pidin, I would have thought that, and I think this is true for others, that for Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who thinks it's a kinyan peros, of course you have to give back the guf. And for the Rush, Udiimei, who think that it's a kinyan gamur with a tnai, the possibility of substituting money for the end is no special yichus other than the fact that it's the subject matter of the tnai. And if you hold, like Rabbeinu Avigdor, in between, Rabbeinu Avigdor said you could substitute money, right? But if you ask me what the Ksos would say, and actually this is a big issue in the Ksos, not so simple, I would say, again, if I'm right about the Ksos, if Itamar is right about the Ksos, I would say exactly about Rabbi Avigdor. If I'm right about the Ksos, I would say that the Ksos, Umdana aside, would be much more likely to think that you have to give back the Ben than that you could substitute for Mav. Okay. So, Halesa, this is the continuation of the Rush. Halesa, Chazakrab, Shim, Gamliel, Domer, Titein, Damim, the Hainu, Vud, Tzidan. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. Again, he says, because they're oh, now I want to talk about onsen for a minute. Yeah, so are you chayiv ba'onsen or not? Right? You have a matan manas lahachzir, and it gets destroyed by an earthquake or lightning strike. Yeah?
I just would like the last point of Miktos. I would just be machalic between. Obviously, the inclination to say what you're saying for Miktos is because there's like something, like a time bomb in the chatzah itself.
And that the bailim themselves. In a way, I'm going to speak about this in a minute, it's not just, so far we've been zeroing in on the fact that for the Ksos, maybe, in my view, that there is a qualitative limit, even though it's a Kinyan Aguf, but it's a more limited Kinyan Aguf. I think that it's not so far to take it a little tiny step further, although this is a little bit dangerous, but I think it has to be somewhat true, and that is there any continued, albeit very very diluted bilus of the nosing during this period. If he's lapsing back without getting a kinyan, without being a kone, right, then even in the interim period, right, is he still on the books as a bilut? That's kind of what I'm saying. So the be'en aspect, then he doesn't lose that. He never lost that, really, even though it's not expressing itself until the Zman Katsuv.
Without being dangerous, I just think we should, it's to be machalik between, like I think the time bomb in the Chep, because it's Moser Mele, which is probably one of the strongest proofs that there's the Shir of the Guf HaMatana.
Yeah.
And then to also realize that it is a Kinyan HaGuf.
That's a dialectic.
Right. So right. I think that the most convincing part, and to be dangerous, would be the Moser Mele factor. That doesn't necessarily say that you need to give back the bin because you also have the Kinyan Aguf part.
You did, but all I'm saying is, there was one aspect of Kinyan Aguf Gomor that you didn't have. So what happened to that part? It's not so easy to say that part is substitutable for Mamre. But again, I'm trying to be honest and show that in the Rush, it goes the opposite of the way I would have thought. Because for Ben Yishaya, there's only Kinyan, we'll see in a moment. If we take him seriously, it's only Kinyan Peros. Right, so how can you have a kinyan peros, and get away with money? And for the Rush, it's a kinyan of guf gamor, and you have. It's easier to explain a little bit the Rush. It's a kinyan of guf gamor, but you still made it tonight to give back the ben. Than it is to explain Rabbeinu Yeshaya, right, where you only had a kinyan of peros, but somehow if you pay money, you can. Again, it could be only b'di'evet, only when there is no ben. Okay, that's fine. But and Kinyan Aguf is not. I don't see Ellie. Is Ellie here? No. That's you?
Yeah.
Oh, hiding behind the camera. Okay. I was going to say that, it's the Kinyan Aguf, the Kinyan Haperos is Nishta Schlachter either, right? Yeah. So that, I think, is an interesting question. Okay. What about Chiyuv Onsen? So this is a very interesting question, and I think a very complicated question, right? So the Rush says, Yesh Omrim. Now again, we know that Chiyuv Onsen is something we associate with Shoel. What about a Bailim? A real Bailim, or more of a Bailim than a Shoel? Does he have, for sure, more Chiyuv? So again, we took a couple of minutes the other day to explain that when it comes to Chiyuv Onsen, Number one, you could have thought that has nothing to do with Kinyanei Shoel. Maybe it's a din in the achrayus of the Shoel. Okay, if that's the case, should it have anything to do with Matano Menas L'Hachzir no matter what you say? No. He's not a shomer. So he's not a super shomer. He doesn't have Chiyav Onsim. But assuming that Chiyav Onsim in a Shoel is because Kol Anar Shalom not as a Chiyav Achrayus, not as a payoff, not that's not his premium, if you will, that, you know, that ups his liability or his coverage, but that it is a din in Kinyanim itself. So this becomes quite an interesting question, right? The Shoel is Chayv Onsim because of his Kinyanim. What about somebody who has more Kinyanim than a Shoel? So on the one hand, you'd think he'd be more Chayv Onsim. On the other hand, you might say, well, he's not Chayv Onsim because if he's such a Bailim. See, let me say it this way. Chiyav Onsim that results from Kinyanim is a little bit of a complicated issue, because on the one hand, the point is, it happened to you. It happened on your watch, right? It's your loss because it was yours when it was lost. Okay? On the other hand, you don't, if you're really, really a Bailim, you know, well, the loss happened under your watch, but you're not Chayav Onsim because you don't have to pay yourself, and there's no concept of Chiyav Onsim. It's Nebuch. Are you still there? Oh, there he is. No. It's Nebuch, you suffered a financial loss, you know, and maybe we should start collecting, you know, sending around the collection plate for you. But it's not a Chiyav Onsim. You can only talk about a Chiyav Onsim that's Noveah from Kinyanim, right, when you have a quasi, you know, situation, right, where on the one hand you're the address, and on the other hand, you know, you still need to respond to the real in the end of the day, you need to do a Chiyav Hashava to the real Bailim. So it happened to you. The same issue applies to a Goslin, right? Because the Goslin has Kinyanim, and that's really the, again, those two Gemaras that we quoted, Bava Kama Yud Aleph and Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, are struggling with this, right? You have a Ganav or Goslin. There it's competitive bailus rather than, you know, cooperative bailus like Shoel and Masha. But in both cases, you have, again, it might be also based on Chiyuv Egzela, but assuming it's based on Kinyan Egzela, the point is that it happened to you, but we call it a Chiyuv Onsim because there's still somebody you have to answer to. So if we're talking about Matano Menas L'Hachzir, what's complicated is, on the one hand, if he has more bailus than the Shoel, then it really happened to him, as opposed to the Nosei Namatano. On the other hand, right, if his Chiyuv L'Hachzir, right, is more extraneous, then it's not going to express itself, is or isn't going to express itself in Chiyuv Onsim. It's more,
it makes it sort of a misnomer to call it Eino Chayav Onsim.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. If you're too much of a Bailim, it's not Chayav Onsim. You might say, oh, when he can't, you know, give back the ban, you know, Igloi Milsa Lamafreid, didn't fulfill the Tanai, and then everything is Batla Lamafreid. But it isn't really Chayav Onsim, is it? So that's what's complicated. So, Ulinyan Kinyan, I'm sorry, Ulinyan Adin, you see where I'm going. Imu chai ba'onsin. Yesh omrim she'enu chai ba'onsin. Sheharei b'matana nasnulo. Meaning it's too much of a matana. Right? B'nei nami shelo echziru lo. Meaning lemaisa. That's true. Mikomokom shoel eino. It's not a shoel. There's no kabbalah sachrayas, if that was the mechayev. And maybe even if the mechayev is the kinyan, there's no Chiyuv Hashava, there's just the lapse of his kinyan, or the need to return it, or the Tanai Chitzo need to return it. Right? Right? The Chein Dasa Rav Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Shehiksha Ma Yesh Ben Matana Amanas L'Hachzir L'Shoel, or L'Shoel, after all, B'Shneim Hu Shelo Ad She'itlenu, these terrific lines, right? Ushneim ein guf konilo. Right? So Rabbi Yeshaya seems to be saying that the comparison to Shoel, as a default at least, is accept, meaning kinyan peiros. Ein aguf kanui lo. The tirates the matana manas lahakse in the chayba onsin, the lahochi yavale be matana. Meaning, it's true that he's like a Shoel and there's no kinyan aguf, according to Rabbi Yeshaya. Nevertheless, by giving it to him as a matana in kinyan peiros, we'll call it that, right? He's not mechayiv him. He doesn't accept the chiyuv of achrayas onsim. Miu ki isa beinei mechayiv ladurele. Of course, kivan the eno chayiv baonsim karina belachem. This is a huge chiddush, meaning because right whether he's chayiv baonsim in the end of the day or not. If you were talking about a kinyan aguf like a vigdar. Right, or and especially like the rush, right? So you don't need another explanation, and you don't need to integrate the ptur onsin to explain why it's lachem. It's lachem because you have full bailus. But according to Rabbi Yeshaya, according to this formulation of Rabbi Yeshaya, which is, it's more like Shaul, it's not a kinyan aguf. The only thing is that there's no chiyuv onsin. That's going to be the basis for the answer to the very next question, which is, well, how does this work in Lachem if it's not a Kinyan Agov? The answer is, that's what I was trying to say before, that according to, there are Kinyane Peiros, if you will, or limited Kinyanim, which will be Lachem. But if there's somebody you owe to, if there's a bigger Bailin than you, right, that's what I was talking about in terms of Breyer and Shutfus. Although, again, in terms of the language, I think you're right. But in terms of the issue, meaning how can you have Shutfim b'Breyer if you think it's not, you know, Bailus Gemura L'Sha'a with no other person at all? Yeah, it's just because right now, you're the main Bailin. Right? So that idea, at least, does everybody agree with this Rabbeinu Yeshaya? Not in the detail and not on the application to Lachem. But you can see where it's coming from. Aval Shaul, Shechai Ba'onsin, Lo Karina Be'Lachem. That's the only reason that Shaul is not Yotze Dalad Minim? Meaning, yes, because, that, again, the other Rishonim wouldn't say this. They'll tell you Shaul is not, he doesn't have a Kinyan Aguf. You need a Kinyan Aguf for Lachem. But Rabbeinu Yeshaya thinks you don't need a Kinyan Aguf. So, what's the problem? The answer is, right, just like, again, now the Ksos is saying much more than that, because he's saying there's a Kinyan Aguf for the Zman Katsuv. I think, he's just trying to explain, but since the Zman Katsuv qualitatively affects the level of the Kinyan Aguf, right, how do you know that's enough for Lachem, and that's where the Rayas come from? Okay. Then the Rush, just one more second, Ulid Varav. This is also interesting. Afilu b'gneva v'aveda lo mechayiv. So this is so interesting, right? Meaning, kivan the potter le me'onsin mishumatana. Meaning, if the reason that he was potter from onsin is because he's not a shoel, like, let's say the following. Let's say we could have said that the reason that you're, why is a shoel chayiv onsin? Not because kol anah shelo is a bailin, but because kol anah shelo, and therefore he has a greater chi of achrayas. Okay. Okay. So, but that doesn't mean that there's not a regular chi of achrayas, like Gneva Baveda. Maybe that's a lack of shmira. It's not the Rambam's, you know, Poshea Kamazik, but it is, right, possibly either a lower level of achrayas, or a chosar shmira. Then, but he's saying no. The real reason is because it's a kinyan. It is a eno kinyan aguf. It's a kind of a kinyan peiros, but it's still, you know, not, you know, betoras. Somebody like Shoa, or under the rubric, or he has obligations, you know, to the owner. So who adinami b'gneiva veida ilav nishum damrina and hold the nena mahana? Huh? What would it hold the nena mahana be? Something like, well, there's an achrayus here. Okay. Kinamrina. You know, to kelly beis uman the shagur beis kamei v'nensu, and so on. Miu says the Rush. Nearly the chayim afilu ba'onsin. V'od afilu beis amachas malacha chayiv. So what's he saying? The Rush saying, I don't think it's a obviously shoel. I start off the whole piece by telling you you need a kinyan b'chazara, right? Because otherwise it's a shoel, and a shoel is not going to work, right? But maybe it's chay ba'onsin even more than a shoel, dafka, because he's not a shoel, because he has more kinyanim, like we were saying a second ago. And that's why I think he adds, but I feel the beis amachas malacha chayiv, meaning beis amachas malacha is a pur. Why don't you say beis amachas malacha, but he's the bailam, it happened to him? The answer is because the happened to him is betorah shoel, and the beis amachas malacha is what she'elah is all about. But a matana manas lahachsir, he's even more of a bailam, so it happened on his watch. Remember, l'shitasa, the Rush thinks that you have to give back the ba'en, right? So Mesa Machas Malacha isn't going to help you either, because it's not whether you're an achrayi or not. It's not onsim b'toras onsim, it's onsim b'toras. You know, you're the bailam shleimim, and now you have to give back the ba'en, and there's no ba'en. There's no excuse. Oh. Sha'arei kibla lov lak zero, vim lo'ak zero hamatana b'tela. That's what he's explaining. The whole point is, it isn't real onsim, it's that there's no excuse for lack of chazara. Ironically, right, an excuse for lack of chazara would help you in some respects more if there wasn't a kinyan aguf. Why?
Well, because then there's nothing undermining the kinyan aguf.
Yeah. Exactly. In other words, because it belongs to the bailam, it's still in the bailam's rishus, and no one's responsible, and that's the end of the story. But ironically, by having more of a matana, right, you have less of an excuse not to comply with the tnai, because it is extraneous. Whereas if it was a, you know, well, it lapses, or kinyan aguf, to say, you know what, this kind of happened to the bailam. What happened to him can't be charged or can't be the basis for being mechayev the makabel, right? Nay, the sholo hava mia benifkan v'sholeach yad b'kadom v'sholo b'rishus hava gazlan. It's an interesting perspective on sholeach yad. Afal b'shem b'rishus yarad b'talos b'rishus b'sholo kiyam t'no v'asas atzmu gazlan afreya. He's taking a very interesting view on Shaleach Yad, but keep it in the back of your mind, you know, for the Shalichas Yad sugyas, not in Kiddushin. But Pashto's Shaleach Yad is a gazlan, you know, is a gzela of a shomer. The Rush here is not viewing it that way. Okay. So that is the whole exchange between the Rush and the Reino Yeshaya. Food for thought going forward that we just need to look at is as follows. The more we look at Matana Manas Lahachsir again extraneously, that's one extreme, and the other is, of course, that the Bailim retain, you know, their ownership, at least on the Kinyan Aguf level, and in the middle Shitas. So we're asking the question, right, is it a qualitatively lower level of Kinyan Aguf? And I'm boldly raising the question I raised before. Does the fact that it lapses back to the Bailim mean that the Bailim remain Bailim in to some extent during that interim period? How else could it lapse back to them without an actual physical Kinyan that goes in their direction? Right? So this is something to think about in terms of Gneiva and Gezela, when there's a Ganef and a Gazlan, who are you stealing from? Now, there might be the primary target, and there, some cases, are a secondary target. Now, how do you define Begunav Mibesa Ish in Matana Manas Lahaksir for Kefel? And let's say one person is, you know, a potter, you're not mechuyev to him for whatever reason, and the other one is not. In other words, anything, let's say hekdesh, right? Is there any remnant of ownership, mitzad, the nosein amatana, during that interim period? An interesting discussion in the Rishonim, let's say if a matana menas lahachzir without a specific time. Right? Number one, is there a kind of a, like, shloshim yom, automatic? Right? More to the point, if it's undefined, who gets to determine it? Is it determined by the mekabel matana? Or by the nosei matana? So again, that could just be an umdana question, like some of these other questions, like what's implicit. But certainly, if we take the view that there's this huge argument about whether matana menas lahachzir is a compromised matana, or whether there remains some bailus to the nosein, right? Certainly in the extremes, if you were to take like the Rush and the Ritva and say it's a matana gemura with it, it's not. And then take, let's say, Rabbi Yeshaya, whoever's going to read the Gemara Bava Basra, that it's really kind of a kinyan aguf. Or in general, the Rishonim would think it's like Shoel Bat. Right, in those extremes, it's very easy to explain, you know, that the nosein is going to have tremendous power if there's no kinyan aguf. That the mekabel is going to have tremendous power if he even needs to be makned back. And if it lapses back, or it's a kinyan aguf, the zman katsuv, depending on how we understand that, right, it's going to be an interesting question. Who determines the time? Another question, which we ought to finish, all of this we'll try to finish up with when we come back, that day when we come back. Kinyan menas lahaknos and its relationship to matana menas lahaknos. Are these interchangeable concepts? Question number one. Number two, if they're not, right, or if they are, which one is the one that defines? Well, let me say it the other way. We talked about this already because it comes up, right? It came up on Dav Gimel Amud Beis. It comes up again here in the Rishonim on Vav Amud Beis. We read the Rishonim about this on Gimel, when we learned Gimel Amud Beis. We read the Rishonim on Gimel Amud Beis and Vav Amud Beis. It comes up in the Rishonim in Nedarim, Mem Ches, right, where the Gemara talks about Sudar as being Kni Amanas Lahaknos, right? And it also comes up a little bit, I think I mentioned then, in the Sugya of Harsha, where some of the Rishonim, the Ramban in particular, in Mechamos, wants to compare a Harsha to Kni Amanas Lahaknos. So the question is, are Kni Amanas Lahaknos and Matan Amanas Lahaksir interchangeable? Are they the same or not? Again, just to even highlight the question in terms of evidence, right? The Gemara involvement base in Kiddushin compares Khalipin to Matan Amanas Lahaksir. The Gemara Nedarim, right, uses the expression of Kinyan Menas Lahaknos. So it's very easy to say that they're interchangeable. But there are Rishonim who think that they're not. And there are Achronim who think they're not, including the Ksos, who has a very strong view about this. If they're not, what's the difference between them? Likely, Matono Menas Lahaksir, you're giving over the Cheftza to the other fellow. Whereas Kniya Menas Lahaknos, what you're doing is you're giving away the koach, you're giving the koach haknoa. Right? Again, you could say this is all Tanai and Umdana and extraneous. Obviously, that's not where I want to go with it. What I'm suggesting is that Kniya Menas Lahaknos might be, right, a very limited kinyan. Again, even much more limited than we've been talking about. Maybe you don't own the cheftza at all. You only own the koach hakna of the cheftza, or you only own the cheftza le'inyan koach hakna also. Like, that's a certain extreme. It's kind of what the Ksos says about kinyan menas lahaknos. Definitely has some roots in Rishonim, although he says it more extremely. Right? So, on the one hand, you might think that matano menas lahachzir you know, is just an extraneous tanai, and it's a matana gemura, you know, l'kol hazman. On the other hand, you might think that kniya manas l'haknos is something very limited and mechudash, right? An extremely qualitatively limited kinyan. Maybe it doesn't even work. If you equate them, I guess the formulation would be, which one is defining which? Basically, matana manas l'haksir is a kind of kniya manas l'haknos, except that clearly, right, we're also extending use of the chafetza, but the idea that it's qualitatively limited, it's not a typical kinyan, it's certainly not a kinyan gamur, is clear. Or is it the opposite? Kinyan manas l'haknos is just a more limited tanai. Really, you own the chafetz, you own the chafetz completely, but instead of saying, you know, you have to give it back in 2 days, or you can own the chafetz, but you can't, you know, bring it to the, you know, to the mishmar or whatever other limitations you want to impose. Here you impose like very extreme, you know, limitations, and you're only allowing a very limited function. But that's a coincidence. So this is something we have to look at quickly. What that relationship is in both directions. Oh. Further connections between this and Shoel. And of course, another big issue, and that is we've already seen it, the ability to be makdish and mocher when you have the chetetz, that we've seen already in the Rishonim and in the Achronim. But also, more particularly, the relationship of matana manas l'haksir, if there are limitations in being makdish and being mocher, especially in the case of Li, to the sugya in the darim mem chesam and aleph, right? You know, kol batana, right? She mikdisho eno mukdash, right? Lo shma matana. That's a question that Rishonim asking. We saw already that Rabbi Avigdor addresses it in the tshuva, right? What do other Rishonim say about that regarding matana of an aslach? And that too is a double question. One part of the question is, like, what is the nature of that klal? Is that really a klal, or is it a particular case in a very narrow halacha? Right, there are Rishonim who think about the Sambalitosis, the Ramban, and it really is, it's not a major klal in Bailus or in Hagdaras Matana. It's a din in Harama, and has a very narrow meaning, and therefore it's irrelevant to any real kinyan. Even if you have a limited kinyan, if it's a real kinyan, it's going to work. The only thing we're excluding, that's how many Rishonim, the Ravid says this to the Ramban, the Ramban says this to answer the Ravid, Bali Tosa say it in Sukkah, right? There really is no such klal. Fine. But if there really, really is such a klal, so then the question is maybe to make another distinction. And that's kind of what Rabbi Avigdor was trying to do. And that is, if what imposes limits in terms of hekdesh reflects a shiur b'kinyanim, right, then that's one thing. If for technical, more extraneous reasons you can't be makdish, right, is that also a problem? So let's take each scenario, and then we'll just follow through very quickly. Right, the first one is maybe only if it reflects, you know, some qualitative limit. Now, if matana manas l'haksir, you know, is only a kinyan peiros or something closer to shoel, then this is going to be a more serious problem. If it's a kinyan haguf lizman, is it still going to be a problem? Maybe the Rabbi Avigdor version versus the Ksos version, assuming that these are two versions. On the other hand, when it comes to the rush, the Ritva Udi Imam, the Sivas Udi Imam, that's a Kinyan Gamor, right, with an extraneous Tanai, that's not going to bother you at all. Okay? So you're going to be quite bothered in the spectrum if it's Kinyan Aguf, not bothered at all if it's Kinyan Gamor unrestricted, and in the in-betweens, it's an open question. The other thing to consider is whether or not the inability to be makdish, like we said about other things, doesn't, maybe it isn't reflection, but maybe it's a creation of limits in matan. Maybe that's part of the shlita. In which case, even for the rush, there might be an issue. And that's something we'd have to contend with as well. So how much you really could be makdish and mocher, and how significant different types of impediments to doing that are, end up being very much part of this particular topic. Okay, so that's in terms of, I want to finish with that the day that we come back. Is that a Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so just make sure you finish the Marmar Kobos I gave. These are the issues, and maybe one or two others that we're going to talk about, and then we move on to Ariv and David Kanani. We'll address the issue. Okay? Okay. So a little bit of Pesach. I don't know so much time. I think I said I was going to speak a little more about Purim Pesach.